Would you turn to the book of Isaiah, please? Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah. Oh, Isaiah 66. Oh, to God be the glory. Isaiah 66. Is everybody there? Would you read verse 1 and, let's see, 2 with me. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. You know, God is looking for someone to build his house. He's looking for those who are really willing to build his house. Now, there are prerequisites to being a builder of God's house. And then there's a specific way that we build God's house. I want to talk a little bit about this tonight. But one of the things that it says here, it says, he who is poor and of a contrite spirit, one who is humble and quick to repent. He didn't say he was looking for a perfect individual, did he? He was just looking for someone who was humble and quick to repent. In other words, that's someone who's willing to receive correction, isn't it? And, you know, okay, so you're not... You're trying to do it this way, but God is saying, no, do it this way. And he's saying, I'm looking for someone who's willing to be humble, who's willing to be repent, and who trembles at my word. In other words, he's willing to obey what I have to say. But he is looking for individuals who are willing to build his house. He is looking for builders. In fact, if you think about it, what was Jesus? He was a carpenter. He was a builder, wasn't he? So in the natural realm, he was a part of a building. You know what I'm saying? He was an individual who was a builder, building, whether it be buildings or furniture or whatever, but he was a part of a structure. There's one who was adding on to things. And in the spirit realm, we know that he is the chief cornerstone of all buildings. Amen?
Yes.
So God is looking for builders, not only physical but spiritual builders to build his house. Amen? Praise God. Would you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. There, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, starting at verse 1, it says, now David assembled at Jerusalem all the elders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. Now you see how this coordinates when Isaiah prophesied? He said, who will build my house? And he talked about the footstool, and he talked about God's throne. And here, David was a man after God's heart, because his desire was to build the house of God. Now, was David a perfect man? No, not at all. Not at all, man. He blew it. In fact, he blew it more than some of us in here did. Amen? Amen. Not too many of us, but some of us. Amen.
Okay, I see how you are.
Hallelujah. Praise God. But it says something very, he says, I had it in my heart to build the house of God or the house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. In verse 3, but God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. Wow. One of the reasons David couldn't do it is because he shed innocent blood. Because he killed an individual for his selfish gain. And it was his right-hand man who served him. And because of that, God did not allow David to build the house, but he allowed David to prepare for the building. Amen? However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father. He was pleased with me to make me king over all of Israel. God is looking for house builders. When you become a house builder, you become chosen. Is everybody with me? God is looking for someone to build his house. But it must start where? In the heart. It must start within the heart. And all of my sons, verse 5, for the Lord has given me many sons, and he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Now that's powerful, because a prerequisite for even to become a builder is to have relationship, right? And he must be your father, and you must become his son. That means that you must get to know one another. Amen? Verse 7, Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Oh, hallelujah. See, God wants to use us to build his house. Amen? Not only to build his house, but to build our house, so that something can be left for our children. It's symbolic, so that our children can recognize something tangible that was from God. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Say, loyal heart,
loyal heart.
And willing mind.
Willing mind.
For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Thank God he doesn't do that anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Just do it, right? We got a wonderful teaching called Just Do It, right? He said, be strong and do it. So one of the things we're going to need to do is start changing our heart. Our heart must be changed so that we want to build the house of God. Amen? Build the house of God. It's no sense in building anything else unless your heart is desired to build the house of God. That means to bring glory to his name and expand his kingdom. You know, there are many wealthy individuals out there and they're miserable because God is asking man to build his house. Oh, you can have all the money. Your business can be thriving. You can have all the material things, but you must be careful because you're to possess the material things, but the material things are not to possess you. Right? That's why some people can't get away. They're walking away from building the house of God because material things have possessed them. Now what they're doing is they're laboring to maintain the material things instead of laboring to expand the kingdom of God. And there's a difference. And that's where the heart needs to get right before God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to chapter 29, starting at verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God." But he made a powerful expression. He says he's young and inexperienced. You know, there are believers who have been believers for 30 and 40 years who are still young and inexperienced. "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance." David was preparing the house of God.
Amen.
"Moreover, because I have set my affection," everyone set my affection, "on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." One of the things that must manifest in our heart is that there must be an affection to build the house of God. There must be a love to want to build the house of God. There must be such a desire to build the house of God that nothing else matters. In fact, you're willing to do whatever it takes to build the house of God. And that means expand his kingdom and bring glory to his name by building the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. It also says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophrah, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold of things of gold and the silver of things of silver, for all the kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord." Who is then willing to consecrate, sanctify themselves, set them apart so that they can build the house of God? "Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of the thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly." Everyone say willingly.
Willingly.
Oh, hallelujah, there was a lot of volunteers. "They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron." There's a lot of talents there. "And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord and to the hand of Joel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly." There is great rejoicing when we're doing things willingly, with a desire of a heart that's willing to build the house of God. There's a wonderful reward in the expression of God's acknowledgement towards us as we begin to build the house of God. In other words, you know it. You get a witness in your spirit that what you're doing is pleasing God. You also get a witness in your spirit that what you're doing isn't pleasing God. Hello? You know, when we begin to drift, we begin to know it. The problem is so many times when people begin to drift, they begin to try to fulfill that pleasing by doing something other than expanding the kingdom of God. Amen? And they're looking for fulfillment, so they work extra hours. They go do this, they go do that, whatever it may be, but it's not expanding the kingdom of God. That's why you and I were rescued. We're to be pillars in His temple, trophies for His glory. He gave us the Holy Spirit that now His Spirit could work through our hands, through our mouth, through our eyes, and through our ears, through our feet. So that not only are you and I the temple and the house of God, but that you and I could work together and build the house of God so that the natural world has something to look at tangibly. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So one of the things we need to do is set our affections on building this house. Be willingly to do it with a joyful heart and with a loyal heart. Amen? Let's go on to verse, did I read 9 yet? Oh, yeah, I did. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Let's go to Psalm 127. Oh, praise God. Psalm 127. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Somebody there?
Amen.
Would you read verse 1 and 2 with me, please? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Wow. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Oh, hallelujah. Now look at the word says that it's unless the Lord builds a house. Now He's looking for laborers, isn't He? Now the carnal mind will say, well, how can God build the house if I'm the one that's supposed to be building it? Because He's the one that's giving you directions. That's how the Lord builds the house. Amen? And one of the things that we need to be willing to do is take counsel from the Lord to build the house. Amen? Or else we labor in vain, don't we? Go to Luke 19. Oh, hallelujah. Those were prerequisites. Those were a foundation. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 19. And verse 45. Would you read it with me? 45 to 48. Somebody there? Then He went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy Him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Him. See, the devil can't move you out of the way when you're tentative to hearing Him. The first thing that here's the number one thing right here. By building the house of God, it must first start with prayer. You cannot build the house of God without prayer. If you do not have a prayer life, you can never build the house of God. You must have a prayer life. Just going to Bible studies in church is not enough. to build the house of God. You can get all kinds of knowledge, but you will not know how to utilize it without a prayer life. A prayer life is the first thing that you must do to build the house of God. Jesus said it right here, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Ooh, that means there's a communication with darkness because you're not communicating with light. Now, you may have a form of godliness, but you're still denying the power in that arena. Amen? God is trying to get us into that place. First thing he begins to do is search us through, doesn't he? He starts removing the thieves out of us. Amen? So, a house of prayer. Now, you got to understand, because what happened here is the chief priests and scribes and leaders, they came against them, didn't they? Remember, there will always be resistance when you set your heart to build the house of God. There will always be resistance. If you think the devil is just going to sit back while you build the house of God, forget it. You're deceived. There will be resistance. Sometimes big resistance. Sometimes you just got to stand until the storm flows over. Sometimes you got to swim. Hallelujah. So resistance will come, but we must keep out the thieves. Those are the vessels of dishonor. God has used this ministry as a house of God. And there are times when the vessels of dishonor have to be removed. Amen? Because it's our responsibility. And as you begin to fulfill an office, you're going to find that God is going to use you to do the right thing. There's going to be times when you can't fool around that soulish realm. God is telling you, get rid of the vessel of dishonor. Why? So that vessel of dishonor could hopefully get back on the wheel somewhere, eat more dirt and do what it's got to do, so it can finally humble itself, right, to be willing to do whatever it takes. So God can turn it into a vessel of honor. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we call that going around the mountain, don't we? Many of us have been around the mountain over and over and over. Hallelujah. So the first thing we must maintain is a prayer life. We must have, the house must be built with prayer. Must be built with prayer. Amen? Because we want to be builders.
Amen.
Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, discipline is an important factor as a builder. In other words, when you get a set of plans, you must be disciplined to do what the plan says. You can't assume anything. It'll move you right out of position. You know, you must be willing to receive direction from God. You must make your yes is yes and your no's no's. Anything from that is from the devil. There is a fine line that the devil tries to open us up to darkness. Because what he's trying to do is blind the plan. He always tries to get us off course, doesn't he? Amen? That's where the word says that the cares of the world choke the seed. Oh, and that's where the fight is at, isn't it? You know in your heart that when you start building the house of God, you know that you sense God's pleased with you. You know it. And then once you start building your own house, you know that God is displeased. You know it. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So it's our responsibility to take heed in how we build. That's why we must have prayer and communication, right? Oh, praise God. Let's keep going. For no other foundation, is everybody with me? For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So the second thing we must do is be right before God ourselves. If you're not right before God, you cannot build the temple. So the first thing we must do is maintain a prayer life. The second thing we must do is allow God to deal with us and get right. If you're not right with God, you know it. You know it. You know certain things in your life are not right. It may not even be sin, but you know that God is not telling you to do those things. Does everybody understand that? So you must be right before God before you can build his house. If you're not right before God, you cannot build his house. Turn to Exodus 25. So many people are trying to build God's house when they're not ready themselves. You won't last. You'll get fulfillment in building God's house, but it'll only last for a period of time because your house isn't right. Exodus 25. Would you read it with me? Then the Lord spoke to the Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. For everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take for them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all its furnishings, just as you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out. And you shall overlay it, and make on it a molding of gold all around it. Now listen. It says that's known as the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. So he talks about that they're going to build a sanctuary. But the first thing he has them build is the Ark. That's where God's presence is. And he's talking about me and you. The first thing before the sanctuary can be built is the Ark must be built. That means your heart, your spirit must be purified. It works from inside to out. If you notice, he talks about building the furniture, right? The ark is the first thing, then the furniture, this, that, and whatever. Everything goes inward to outward. That's how God's house is built. And we're a part of his house, aren't we? Aren't we known as the temple of the Lord? Amen. So it starts within to outward. Amen. So the ark must be completed. It must be completed before the rest of the tabernacle can be built. Because the purpose of the ark is to be put in the tabernacle. Amen. Or in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. Go to Galatians 2. Man, they sure made a lot of offerings there to build the ark, didn't they? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2. Oh, praise God. Is everybody all right? Ready to build God's ark? Build his house? Oh, glory to God. So the first thing we talked about is there must build the house of God with prayer. The second thing is you must get right first. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. Praise God. And in verse 18. Would you read it with me? For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now listen. We must build with new materials, not what we used to build with. The Bible says if we start building on things God has delivered us from, which is destroyed, we make ourselves a transgressor or an abomination to God. God cut the cigarettes out of your life. He cut the drugs out of your life. He cut the fornication out of your life. If you begin to build on those things again, you become a transgressor and an abomination to the Lord. Does everybody got it? In other words, you cannot build the house of God on the things of the natural realm. That's why he says, when we talked about, you can't build it with hay or straw or whatever. The first thing that the house of God must be built on is prayer. The second thing is you must get right with God, or you can't build the house of God, right? Oh, hallelujah. So God has given us new material from the throne room. He's given us new material to build his house. Go to Matthew 16. You know, the Bible tells us that he does a new thing. You don't know when he's going to do the new thing. So you may be trying to be building God's house on something that you've been building for a long time. And he's saying, drop it. You know? Drop it. Let it go. I got something better.
Amen.
It's an automatic hammer. You know? It's a nail gun. Save your thumb. You know? Whatever. You know, you just don't know what material he has. But you got to allow him to get you the material. You got to be willing to allow yourself to drop it so you can use the right things to build his house. And you know, in every room of God's house there's something different, isn't there? They're not going to be all built the same. There's different purposes. Right? Every one of us, God is molding and using each and every one of us in a different way. But our purpose is still to build the house of God by expanding his kingdom and bringing glory to his name. That's what it's about. What did I say to go? Matthew 16? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. quiet in here tonight. Must be getting a witness. Matthew 16 and verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will what? Build my church." Woohoo! "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The third thing that you must get is revelation from God and His purpose. You must get revelation from God and His purpose. Oh, hallelujah. See, when you get revelation from God and His purpose, He gives you the keys to build. He gives you the keys to sustain. He gives you the keys to go forward. You're now a warrior. Amen? You're fighting to build the house of God. You know, many have tried and many have failed. Look at in the Old Testament, who they tried to build the house of God. Many of them that were called to build the house of God. So we need to have revelation from God and His purpose. Amen. That's the third thing. Go to Ephesians 4. So you can't get, your revelation doesn't come from someone else. You must get the revelation from God yourself. That's why everything must begin with prayer. You can't build the house of God on somebody else's shirt too. Because you don't know what position you'll be in. You'll be trying to follow someone else, but God hasn't blessed you with that talent, according to the other individual in building the house of God. And you'll get frustrated, beat up, tormented, because you can't do what that other person is doing, but God's not called you to do that. That's why you must get revelation from God of what your purpose is in building the house of God. Be all right?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter something. 4. Praise God. Verse 11. Read that with me, please. "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers." Well, that's different positions, isn't it? Everybody got that? It's different, isn't it? "For what? The equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share." Does everybody see that? Every part does its share. So you must get revelation of what your purpose is so you do your share. And when you don't know what to do, you go to one of the offices. And you just submit until you get revelation of your position. Has everybody got it? Ooh. "According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's powerful. Doing your part, One of the fourth thing that we must do is get plugged in a place where God has sent us so that we can get what we're supposed to get is for preparation of training. Amen? Listen, there's something I want to share which is important. If you don't know, you don't go. If you don't know, you don't go. It's real simple. God has put people in certain congregations and certain churches and whatever, and sometimes He'll eventually move you or whatever, or He'll plug you in somewhere. But the most important thing is to get plugged in somewhere. Amen. Amen? You must be plugged in somewhere. When people move from state to state because of their job, the first thing they should be looking for is a church to get plugged in and not a house. Then you move around where the church is at. Because it is the most important thing to get plugged in somewhere, because your training doesn't stop. Now you may get revelation of your position. Once you get revelation of your position and God begins to train you in that certain area, remember, we've never perfected anything. And you won't. The whole thing is allowing the Spirit to perfect it, because you and I can't. Every time we try to perfect it, we mess it. Right? So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us so that whatever it is of the revelation of purpose, God can utilize us to expand His kingdom and bring glory to His name. And you'll know your purpose. Now your purpose may be temporary. Amen? I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. This is where God has me. Who knows where He's going to have me 4 years from now? I don't know. But in the meantime, this is what He's given me. Right? So my purpose right now is to build the house of God and expand it. My purpose right now is to evangelize in the jails, bring them on into the house of God, disciple them, and send them. That's my purpose for now. But I don't know what else is going to be later. But praise God, this is what He's equipped me with. This is what He's trained me with. Did I know I was going to do this? No. Was it my desire? Not really. You kidding? I wanted a Harley and I wanted to go evangelize the world. Praise God, I was ready for an RV and let's go! You know? Praise God, let's just preach the word and go, you know? Like. But then God turned my heart. He turned my heart because I got revelation of my purpose. Now do I desire it? Yes. It's my desire. It's a love because I love the people of God. I love to see people changed. I love to see them get healed. That's my reward. I love to see someone come in all messed up. I'd like to see the impossible happen in someone's life. Because our God does the impossible. The whole thing is if we got to let Him. He's not going to do the impossible if someone doesn't want it. He'll never force Himself on anyone. Never. Praise be to God. Let's go a little further. So we've got to get plugged in so we can get training, and it's all preparation, isn't it? God knows when to send you. Amen? But if you don't know, you don't go. You know, so many times people go, well, I'm going to step out in faith. There's a difference between stepping out in faith and stepping out on an assumption. And there's a difference between stepping out in blindness and stepping out in light. I see many people go to try to do something and they haven't got two nickels in their pocket. God always provides for what His purpose is. Always. He never sends you out there naked. You know what I'm saying? That's why He plugs us in, doesn't He? He plugs us in so that we can be a part of a church family. You know, when I was going to church and so forth, and when I was a babe in Christ, even though I'm still a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm, like I said, we're all still growing. You know, the family around me was helping me. Nobody else would help me. I didn't even know what I needed. But God knew what I needed. You know? I mean, I had an empty house, and next thing I know, furniture started showing up on my front lawn. My water bill got paid for. My electric bill got paid for. I didn't have to take a shower next door in the hose anymore. Hallelujah. I didn't have to run an extension cord to my neighbor's house. Things were happening in my life. God was beginning to supply. The first revelation I got was I was His son. And He was my father. That was the first revelation. I didn't know what I was supposed to be or what I was supposed to do. That's all I knew is I was a son of the Most High God. And that's all that mattered. I didn't care about anything else. My purpose at that point in time was to fulfill my sonship with Him. I was to fulfill my priesthood. See, I didn't even know what priesthood was then. See, but He gave me revelation bit by bit. But you first must get the first revelation. And one of the first revelations is you are His child. And He loves you unconditionally. He says it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But He's not going to give you a kingdom that you don't know what to do with. Right? He's not going to give you a set of keys to something you don't know how to drive or something you abuse. So He begins to train us. He plugs us in. I didn't go church hopping. I went where God put me. I happened to be either removed or something always happened where it was time for me to go. But there was, I was basically plugged into about three churches out of my, or four churches, three churches, something like that, out of my walk as a baby in Christ before God established our own sanctuary. And that's where I stayed. I waited. Man, I'll stay in the jail and continue to minister in the jail until I get thrown out. Until they want the truth anymore and they want religion. Whatever it is. Then God moves us from one place to another. But the one thing is He knows that I'm going to stay there until something happens. Either the building will burn down or I'll get thrown out. One or the other. Unless I get great revelation that it's time to go. But usually I'll know ahead of time it's time to go. Then I just wait for the opportunity for what's what. Hallelujah. Oh, so we want to do our part, don't we? If you're not doing your part, there is no fulfilling. There is no pleasing of God. Now, that has nothing to do with how much He loves us, does it? Your performance is not determined in how much God loves you. And that's where the devil likes to beat us up. Well, you're not fulfilling the will of God. You're not doing this. You're not reading your Bible enough. You're not doing this. It has nothing to do with the will of God. I mean, the love of God towards you. God loves me and you unconditionally. You can sit there and get fat in front of a TV all of your days and never do anything for God, and He'll still love you. I won't guarantee you'll go home. I don't know. Because sitting in front of a TV and getting fat, you're going to eventually start sinning, and the wages of sin is death. Right? So you're not going to last there too long. You're going to get bored and want some fleshly entertainment. Yeah. Luke 14. Oh, hallelujah. The house of the Lord. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. Everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life, also cannot be my disciple. That's powerful. Now, he doesn't literally mean hate them. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he's saying is don't let anything get between you and him. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, hello, cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. In other words, he needs to get a plan from God. If he's got 10,000, the other one's got 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So, the fifth thing that must happen is we must count the cost. Counting, you must count the cost. You must be willing to pay the price. You must be willing to forsake the world, and of course the famous three-letter word is die. Number five is count. Count the cost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody there?
Yeah.
Everybody all right?
Good.
Good. Go to Luke 11. Number four was plug in and get sent out. Number one is must be a house of prayer. Number two, must be right before God. Number three, must get revelation and purpose. Number four, you must get plugged in, right, so you can get trained up and get sent out. Number five, you must be willing to count the cost, pray the price. And we haven't gotten to number six yet. But let's go to Luke 11, verse 45. And one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approved the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you built their tombs. Ooh. Woe to wrong builders. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who entered in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assault him vehemently and cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might what? accuse him. Believe me, when you begin to build the house of God, you are going to get accused.
Amen.
They will accuse you of laboring for money. They will accuse you of being greedy, selfish. They will accuse you of not being God's called. They will accuse you of many things. But you have to stand because you have revelation and you have purpose. The only reason why they accuse is because they speak of things they do not understand. They speak of things they do not understand. Proverbs 9. So get ready as you begin to get revelation and purpose. Hallelujah. And who is the accuser of the brethren? Amen. So it's not the individual, is it? It's just the voice of the stranger. You know, that's his job, isn't it? And he does it good. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Proverbs 9. Hallelujah. 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. What built her house?
Wisdom.
She has hewn over her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread. What is she saying? Come on and get some understanding. Get some wisdom. And drink of the wine I have mixed. What's the mix? Wisdom and understanding. Somebody got it? That's the mix. The mix is wisdom and understanding. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. What does it say? Forsake foolishness and what? Live. And go in the way of what? Understanding. So the drink is, the mix is wisdom and understanding. Go to verse 10. Ooh, this is all good. This is all good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is what?
Understanding.
Praise God. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. Look at verse 9. It says, get instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Powerful. Powerful. So the sixth thing we must do is get wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding must be the sixth thing. So the first thing, the house must be built by prayer. You must get right with God. The second thing, the third thing is you must get revelation from God and purpose. The fourth thing is you must get plugged in so you can be taught and learn, so you can get plugged in and get sent out. The fifth thing is to count the cost, pray the price, death to self, forsake everything. The sixth thing is we must get wisdom and understanding. Did you ever see someone who said, "Yeah, man, I can do this. I'm a master carpenter. I'm a master plumber. I'm a master of all trades, but can't do any of them." You give a person a hammer and he uses the wrong end. Right? "Yeah, man, I got an eye that's straight as an eagle. Thing is, it just doesn't stay still."
Yeah.
I can do a right angle, praise God. It just might have a little curve on it. Hallelujah. I'm a roofer. Roof, 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 roof. So we get a lot of people that claim they're a lot of things. Amen? That's why we have to get wisdom and understanding. And why it's the purpose of getting revelation and purpose. So you know who you are. And you use the talent that God has given you. Not trying to use someone else's talent. That's trying to use somebody else's anointing. God has given you a specific anointing for a specific purpose. That's that. If you try to do anything else, you will not succeed. You'll struggle, you'll fight. Now, I'm not talking about resistance of the devil. Okay? There's a difference. You know, the Bible says, whatever you touch shall prosper, not break down. Amen? So God is preparing us and training, isn't He? Amen? Some of us, He's purposing a new talent, a new material to use, isn't He? Because see, we've been so used to trying to work. You know, sometimes He changes jobs for us on purpose. So that we can pick up another talent. Because that's what He's trying to do with us. But we want to go back to the old job because we made money. See, that means we've served money. And we have a hard time serving God. We need to get wisdom, don't we? And understanding. Matthew 7. That's why Paul said some will wait on tables and the others will give time for prayer and teaching and work. Yeah. Amen? Everyone waits on tables before they get in the other position. And then sometimes he'll take you out of that position because Paul said, I became many things that I could save some. Amen? So I could be a witness to some. It's amazing how God will open the door and you'll go out there and you'll start doing things and yeah, the next thing you know, the door shuts. Bam! Slams right in your face. You start blaming God for, or you start blaming the devil for shutting the door, and you'll start to open it. You'll try the any kind of key there is, fasting, praying, all kinds of stuff, casting out, doing this, doing that, and the door ain't opening. You know why? God shut it.
Amen.
That's that. You can't open something He's already shut.
Amen.
You'll sit and wait at that door till you die. But I have a desire. That's flesh. Get it behind you and let God build the house. Quit trying to build God's house in your own carnal talents. You know, He knows exactly what we need. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Believe me, we're dying daily. You'll find yourself starting picking up some of the things from before. Because that's how the devil moves. He'll put a tool in your hand you didn't even know where it came from. Whoa. Yeah, I remember this thing. Yeah, I'll start using it. This old talent. You'll start using it. But it's just not working the way it used to work. Just not working the way it used to work. I don't understand it. Because it's not anointed. If it's not anointed, it won't. You cannot build something with the house of God that is not anointed. God's house is built by the anointing of the Spirit of God. Nothing else. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Would you read it with me? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So there's a foolish builder and a wise builder. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 2. Oh, to God be the glory. Ephesians 2, it's just for you. Now the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Amen. And we can. We can get through every kind of storm. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Amen?
No matter what. But then there are certain things that he expects us to build his house with. And you can't rely on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It won't work. Because what's not anointed by God will not stand. Well, all things work to the good. Well, you can keep relying on that scripture all the time. And who wants to keep getting it? The reason why people use that is because they messed up, missed God, blew it, something happened, and they're waiting for something to work to the good. Amen?
Amen.
Well, all things work to the good. Yeah, I know I blew it. And that's okay. That's all right. But you don't want to get constantly caught up in that, do you? Because we're all going to make mistakes, aren't we? But the thing is to be quick to repent.
Amen.
Quick to get back in position and say, okay, Lord, I blew it. I knew I shouldn't have bought this lemon. But I did anyways. I'm sorry. I repent. Now I know all things will work to the good. Yeah, go junk it. So you don't have to put any more money into it, right? Praise God. Ephesians 2, chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. He is the master builder. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Whoa. So we are becoming a dwelling place for God, aren't we? Not only what we're building outwardly is to bring people in to be a dwelling place for God, but you and I must first be a dwelling place for God so that what we touch would be a dwelling place for God. Amen? A holy place, a dwelling place for God. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Glory to God. Everybody all right? Hallelujah. The word alive is worth the drive.
Amen.
Ezekiel 36 and verse 33. Would you read it with me? Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be what? Rebuilt. So you got to get cleansed first, don't you? Hallelujah. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. That's you, me. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the what? Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited, not by demons, by the Spirit of God. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was destroyed or desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will what?
Do it.
There we go. Do it again. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. They shall know that I am the Lord. Luke chapter 16. After cleansing, then building. Luke 16. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, my Lord. Many have tried, and many have failed. But we don't want to fail, do we?
No.
Amen. Everything must be done in divine order. We have a teaching on divine order. Luke 16. In verse 10. Would you read it with me? Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Whoa. The seventh thing, you must be faithful. Must be faithful. How many of y'all know obedience is faithfulness? Oh, hallelujah. If you're not obedient, you're not faithful. And we'll close at Hebrews 3. House of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read this together. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to build the house of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You first got to let him build your house, right? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, wherever we are standing before you right now, Lord, and what it is you're dealing with us so that we can be a vessel of honor in your house and so that we can be builders of your house, Lord. Deal with us according to your will and way. Bring light and truth into every area of our life, Lord. Grant us repentance, grant us deliverance, and grant us healing so that we may be a tool for your glory. in Jesus' name. And everybody said,